Word of God this morning, if you would, and turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Acts chapter number 16. This portion of the Bible, we find that Paul and Silas have made their way to Philippi through the calling of the Spirit of God. And when they get there, they meet some ladies by the riverside, and they have their first convert there in Europe, and her name's Lydia. And Lydia was a woman, a seller of purple, a woman of means, and she was converted to the Lord. And no doubt this caused some noise, but there was another lady, a lady that had the spirit of divination in her, if you will. She was a lady that, in other words, was involved in witchcraft and things like that. And she brought her masters a lot of money. And this woman trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. And this really got the people angry. They were so mad because this hurt their pocketbook, you know. This was dealing with their finances because this lady would, the things that she would do. And they went and they complained to the authorities in town. And they take Paul and Silas and they put them in jail. And I want us to begin reading in verse number 25. We find that Paul and Silas is in prison now. They're in jail in that inner prison. And the Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was an earthquake, a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for being with us. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. Lord, now as we've read thy word, I pray that our hearts are prepared to hear from thee. Pray, Lord, for the power of the Spirit of God to rest upon me as I preach. And I pray, Lord, for listening ears this morning. I pray, Lord, that we would hear what you would have us to hear. Lord, I pray everything that's said and done in this place will be done for thy glory and for thy honor, for the salvation of souls and for the help of men and women and boys and girls. And Lord, we'll thank you now for what's accomplished, and we give it all to thee. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. The jailer said, after his life was saved, when Paul said, "Do thyself no harm, we're all here," the jailer was so amazed. He had heard the singing of Paul and Silas. He had heard the prayers of Paul and Silas and the praising of Paul and Silas. And when he saw that the jail was, the doors were open, he thought, "I'm going to die tomorrow. They'll take my life tomorrow, so I'm going to take care of it tonight." And he gets ready to take his own life. But before he can take his own life, Paul says, "Do thyself no harm, we're all here." Well, that amazes him. And in his amazement, he springs in, he sees that they're all there, and I'm telling you, the Spirit of God worked in his life. And he looked and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And the response was so simple, yet it's the same response that we have today. He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." One of the great stories in the Old Testament is the stories of the cities of refuge. You can read about it. The Bible teaches us about this in the Old Testament book of Numbers and of Deuteronomy and of Joshua. As you look, you're going to see that the city of refuge is a place where somebody may have accidentally killed someone and they took their life, not on purpose, maybe by an accident, or maybe in self-defense. They could flee to one of these cities. And when they got to this city, they were safe in that city, and the magistrates or the leaders of that city would make sure that their blood was not avenged because the death was an accident. Of course, you know that if people would be willing to avenge their brother's blood or their family's blood, so they would go after the one. But when they got to this place, there were six of these cities of refuge, and they could not, their lives could not be taken as long as they dwelt in that city. Now that's the Bible teaching us that in the Old Testament. Jewish history teaches us that in those days, in the times of the cities of refuge, that the magistrates would go out once a year and they would clear off the road to make sure there was safe passage to those cities. Each of those six cities had ways into it, and they wanted to be sure that the road was clear in order that these people that may be fleeing for their lives could make their way to the city. This morning, when I think about that and I think about the life that we're living, there's a lot of rocks in the road to salvation for a lot of people. There's a lot of things that confuse people about what salvation is all about. And God has prepared for the sinner a city of refuge. And there's only one way to that city, and it's through faith in Christ. Our text says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." This pathway gets cluttered up a lot of times. As God's servant, as a preacher of the Bible, as a Bible believer, I want us to look at this road to this city, to God, and I want us to remove some of those stumbling blocks that are in the way. Behind every sinner is the avenger of blood. Behind every one of you that are here today that cannot say beyond any shadow of a doubt, "I know I'm on my way to heaven," behind you is a devil, and in front of you is a devil, and he's throwing rocks trying to keep you from having the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you to be saved. The devil does not want you to be saved. As a matter of fact, it is his responsibility, it is his desire, it is his goal to keep as many people out of heaven as he possibly can. But the Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." That's that simple. That's how simple salvation is. But the devil throws all these things out there, doesn't he? The devil throws all these things out there. And I want to look at there's many things we could look at today, but I want to look at three things. I want to cover three things this morning that will remove some of these rocks, some of the rocks that the devil has. I want you to, first of all, to see the deceiving rock blocking the simple plan. The deceiving rock that blocks the simple plan. The Bible says, believe. Believe. It's that simple. "Oh, but preacher, surely there, you know, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. And you know, I've got to turn over this leaf and boy, I've got to get this straightened out." No, the Bible says, believe. Let's not take and add to God's word. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever" what? "Believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But there is a deceiving rock out there that blocks this simple plan. All that the Lord has commanded us to do is believe. But that plan is so simple that it's become a mighty rock on the road to the city of refuge. All of your sins, it doesn't matter how many, all of your sins can be washed away through the blood of Calvary's Lamb. All your sins can be taken care of, and it has been taken care of through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things that cause that rock to get bigger all the time and to block the sinner from this place of refuge. Sometimes it's the past life. We can't get beyond our past. When the sinner begins to consider their past life and count the sins that they've committed, he cannot accept the fact that all is forgiven if he'll just believe. There's got to be more to it than that, right? Wrong. The Bible says believe. What can wash away my sins? Well, if I get baptized and if I turn over a new leaf and if I do the right thing and if I go so long without sinning in my life. No, you're not going to go so long without sinning. You're going to turn over a new leaf, but it's still going to haunt you. You're going to get baptized. You're going to go down a wet sinner and come up a wet sinner. What can wash away my sin? It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. You want to know how you can go to heaven today? It's not by taking account of your past life. It's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ. That's how you can go to heaven today. If it was up to our past life, we would all be bound for hell. But because Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for our sins, He paid for our sins, past, present, and future. And dear friend, the fact of our past should not keep us from the promise of our future. We must put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are all kinds of these stones that are out there. The past life. Then the personal fear. There's fears that keep people. This rock, it just grows bigger and bigger. When we start to measure our faith, we start thinking, do I have enough faith? Do I have enough faith? And we have so many doubts, so many fears. But God doesn't measure our faith. Jesus, in the night of the storm, you remember, said to His disciples, His own followers, you know what He said to them? Oh, ye of little faith. It's not about how much faith you have, it's where you put your faith. And when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, you believe on Him, the Bible says you'll be saved. But the devil doesn't want you to believe that. A lot of preachers don't want you to believe that. A lot of churches don't want you to believe that. But apparently God wants you to believe it, because that's what God said. Let's not make it any more difficult than what it is. It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's believing that Jesus did what He said He did. It's by faith trusting Him. It's by faith believing on Him. Then there's that perfection that we desire that keeps this deceiving rock. The plan is simple, but we deceive ourselves so many times because we think, boy, I've heard this, if I get saved, when I get saved, I want to be the best Christian. And you look and you say, I just can't live that kind of life. I can't do those kind of things. I've talked to a lot of people and tried to lead people to the Lord, and I don't know how many times I've heard it. Well, I just can't live the life. You're right. You can't, and I can't. Because within ourselves, it's impossible. But when we put our faith in Christ, Christ comes to live in us and He helps us to live the life that we need to live. Does that mean we're going to be perfect? No. But it does mean that we're going to be forgiven. It does mean that heaven's going to be our home. It's not about perfection. It's not about living the perfect life. It's about believing. When you believe, you place your trust in Christ, and it will be Christ living in you. And then there's those people that have those feelings. It's a perversion. Some people think you've got to feel it. Salvation's not by feeling. Amen. It doesn't say, by grace are you saved through feeling. The Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith. It's not based on feeling, dear friends. It's based on faith. Do you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins? Do you believe that He was buried? And do you believe that He rose again? And do you believe that when you put your faith in that, that can take you to heaven? Because that's what the Bible says. That's what it's all about. I've seen people get saved and cry and cry and cry and cry. And I've heard people say, boy, he was really in earnest. May have been. It's great. But I've seen other people come up, not shed a tear, but pray and ask the Lord Jesus Christ. And as far as I'm concerned, according to the authority of the Word of God, they are just as saved as those that cried. It's not about feelings. It's about faith. But the devil wants to deceive you with this rock, trying to make it think it's about you. See, salvation is not about you. It's about Jesus Christ and God. You know what salvation is? Can I explain it to you? It's so simple. Salvation is a covenant between God the Father and God the Son. And the Bible says, when you believe that, when you believe on Christ, you put your faith in Christ, then you're placed into that covenant. And guess what happens? The third part of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, seals it. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They place you into this covenant, and God the Spirit seals you until the day of redemption. You know when that is? That's when the Lord Jesus calls you home. You're going to be with Him. What a day that's going to be. Amen? We see the deceiving rock that blocks the simple plan. We see this thing. There's this deceiving rock that the plan is simple, but we try to make it so difficult. And we have to remove that rock. And if you're here today and you can't say for sure that you know that heaven's going to be your home, I want to get that rock out of the way. It's not about who you are and what you can do. It's about who He is and what He's already done and what He's willing to do in your life. Do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says when you put your faith in Him, He forgives you of all your your sin. The Bible says when you put your trust in Him, He promises you a home in heaven. The Bible says when you put your trust in Him, that God becomes your Father. And dear friends, you become an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. All that's His belongs to you when you put your trust in Him. It's not about who you are. You're not good enough to go to heaven. I'm not good enough to go to heaven. But Christ died because we were not good enough. And because He died, we put our faith in Him. And He takes us to heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what Jesus said. He said it. That settles it. Whether you believe it or not, it's settled. But if you want to go to heaven, you'll believe it. Believe. Believe. The Bible says, take Him at His word. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Secondly, I want you to see the devil's rock that blocks the sufficient person. The devil's rock that blocks the sufficient person. The Bible says, believe, and it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's always been to the devil's work to belittle and to discredit the Lord Jesus Christ. He's tried to make little of Him. The devil tried to prevent His birth, didn't he? I'm telling you, since God the Father announced in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that the Savior was coming, since that very moment the devil did everything he could to prevent the birth. He tried to knock out the Jewish race. He tried to deplete them from off the face of the earth. He tried to get rid of them because the Bible teaches us God promised that it was through the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that Christ would come into this world. And so He did everything He could do to try to destroy that family through whom the Lord Jesus Christ would come. It didn't work. And the Bible teaches us that when Christ came into this world, when He was born of that virgin, when He was born in Bethlehem, the Bible teaches us that the devil had a man by the name of Herod that went around and said, we're going to kill all the babies. We're going to get rid of them. But guess what? They didn't get Jesus, did they? Can you imagine? All kinds of these little Jewish babies killed because the devil wanted to stop Christ dying just for you. That's how bad the devil hates you. That's how much the devil hates you. But that's how much God loves you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil says he's nothing, but the Bible says he's everything. The Bible says in Him is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The devil tried to destroy Him in His birth. The devil tried to destroy Him in His life. The devil tried to hinder Him in His ministry. The devil tried to keep Him in the grave. But I want you to know that the devil could not hold Him in the grave because on the third day He arose from the grave. You remember when the ladies come by and that those angels were standing there and they said, we know whom you're seeking, but why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is not here. He is not here. He is risen. Just like He said, oh, the devil's tried to stop Him for thousands of years. But dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ showed Him who He was because on the third day He rose up out of the grave, victorious over death, victorious over hell, and victorious over the grave. And dear friends, when He came up out of the grave, He had the keys of death, hell, and the grave. I want you to understand today that we must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't believe on the church. We don't believe on a preacher. We don't believe on a pope. We don't believe on a religion. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about who He is. And when you, if you're lost, begin to seek for the answer to your sins, the devil's going to tell you that's going to take more than just believing on Jesus to change you. If you listen to the devil, you're just going to see people like see Jesus like a lot of the people of Nazareth did. They're going to say, we know Him. He's the son of Joseph. We know His brothers. You know what they were saying? That He's just another man. There's a lot of people out there that says He's just another man. A prophet, maybe. A good man, maybe, but just another man. No, He's God. He's God robed in the flesh. That's who He is. The world trying to make you to believe that he's something less than God. But He's just as much God as God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. the devil's rock is to destroy the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil's rock is to block the sufficiency of Christ. And I want to remove that rock from your pathway today. I want you to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is sufficient for every need of your life. I look at this congregation of people. I see people from all walks of life. I see people that maybe have businesses, people that are employees, people that are employers. I see people that are young. I see people that are retired. I see people that live in houses with larger square footage. I see people that live in houses with smaller square footage. I see people that live in apartments. I see people that live in all different places. There's some of you drive a Ford. Some of you drive a Chevy. Some of you drive other vehicles. You drive all kinds of things. Some of you drive a truck. Some of you drive a car. Some of you drive a van. All walks of life. You see what I'm saying? I see that. And in the midst of all those people, there are many of you that have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I were to bring you up on this platform today and I were to interview you, and I would ask those of you that know Christ as your Savior, and I would say, has He been sufficient? There's not one of you that have put your faith in Him that would not say, He is sufficient. The devil doesn't want you to know that. The devil wants you to think there's more to it than just believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil wants you to think there's more to it than putting your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. The devil wants you to think that you've got to do all these works and all these deeds. But the Bible says you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the works are a result of your salvation. But the works are not your salvation. Right? You know, the Bible says, show me your faith, that's your, I'll show you my faith by my works. But faith begins with Christ. Salvation begins with Christ. And then the works build from there. And that's the proof of our salvation. But the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Don't you ever let the devil make you think you've got to do all these things. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is sufficient. The person of Christ is sufficient to take you to heaven. You don't believe me? Why don't we ask this jailkeeper, godless, beat these men, put them in jail, did not have respect for who they were, for what they were preaching, but he could not help but hear the praying and the praising that was going along. He could not help but here as Paul and Silas called upon their God and did not cry and did not moan and groan and bellyache, but they were singing and praising the Lord. There's no doubt they were sitting here thinking, there's something different about these prisoners. They've got something. And then God delivered them and they were able to go. And the jailer said, I'm dead. I'm taking my life. I'm not going to let them take it. It'll be terrible. I'm taking my life. And he takes out his sword, ready to take his life. Paul said, wait. Do thyself no harm. We're all here. He sprang in. I did this just a few nights ago, and I'm not going to do it again. He's jumped. Can you imagine? Dagger in his hand, sword in his hand, ready to take his life. And then, we're here. He jumps in, light in his hand. They're all there. They were all there. Not just Paul's house. All the prisoners were there. And this man said, what they have is real. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. That's what Paul told this Philippian jailer. If it was good for him, it's good for you. It's good for me. I know what a lot of people say. And I know a lot of people say, that's easy believism. No, that's Bible salvation. Amen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your faith in what Jesus Christ did. It's not through all these other, it's through Christ we're saved. Through Christ we're saved. Through Christ we're saved. Oh, may we see this today, and may we understand this. It's not a liberty to go out and sin and do wrong, because when Christ comes and lives in your heart, you know what happens? The Holy Spirit says, you can't do that. You can't say that. You can't go there. That's what happens. And people that can go out and deliberately do all these things and live a wicked and ungodly life, I wonder, is the Spirit of God real? I'm not the judge. I'm a messenger, but I'm not the judge. I'm not the Holy Spirit. But I know what the Bible says. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If I could call Mary Magdalene to the stand, I'd say, Mary, tell me about your life. I was wicked. I was lost. I was undone. I was filled with hell. There were 7 demons lived inside of me. And one day, I was on the road to hell, living a life filled with hell. As a matter of fact, I was the very essence of hell. But one day, as I was walking through my life, this essence of hell met the essence of righteousness. And His name was the Lord Jesus Christ. And He changed my life. Christ is sufficient. Christ is sufficient. The devil wants you to not believe that He's sufficient, but Christ is sufficient. It's only Christ that can change your life. Thirdly, I want you to see this, that doubting rock that blocks the saving power. I'm dealing with a lot of people that are saved. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Is there any question marks in there? Is there any room for doubt about what the Bible says? The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And there's a lot of people that have come to faith in Christ. They have trusted Him. They have done what the Bible says. Believe. You know what that, and we could go and we could take it a little bit further. We're to call upon the name of the Lord, right? That's believing. That's calling on Him, saying, Lord, I know who I am, and I know who You are, and I'm just believing what You did for me on the cross of Calvary. I'm trusting You by faith. I'm putting it all on You. That's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if you've done that, the Bible says, thou shalt be what? Saved. Now, are we going to take God at His word or not? We don't take God at His word so many times. And we even judge people that way. Well, look what He did. Let me ask you something. What's the worst sin? Taking a drink or lying in the eyes of God? They're the same. It's sin. God hates all sin. Now, we understand that there are things that are worse in the sight of people. And you pay for that. You understand what I'm saying. But in the sight of God, sin is sin. He says, if you're guilty of one part of the law, you've broken all the law. Isn't that what He says? So when you put your faith in Christ, the Bible says no liars will have their part in heaven. I agree with that. But because I'm saved, my sins are washed away. When God sees me, He doesn't see me for who I am. He sees me for who Christ is in me. Now, you say, that's just not right, preacher. That's just saying you've got a license to sin. No, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, you can't go very long living in that sin, because the Bible teaches us that God is a chastening God. Because He loves us, He chastens those whom He loves. You may think you're getting by with it, but dear friend, the day is coming where you will be reckoned with this. Yeah, your sins are taken care of. It's just like my children, and I gave this illustration in Sunday school this morning. They're not perfect kids. I love them with all of my heart. But when they do the wrong thing, you know what? They do not cease to be my children, but our fellowship is broken. And I have to correct them because I love them. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you become a child of God. And we just need to realize we have eternal life. You want to know why not much work is getting done for the Lord in this day that we're living? That's because too many people don't even know for sure that they're saved. Oh, they've done everything the Bible says. That means they're saved. But, you know, it's because, well, I messed up. I made this mistake. No, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus paid for that sin on the cross of Calvary. And when you were saved, that sin was taken care of. Do you need to get it right? You certainly do. You need to confess your sins. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Just because you sin, though, does not mean you cease to be a child of God. It just means you have broken fellowship with God and you need to get it right. But the devil's going to try to use it to make you doubt. Am I even saved? The Holy Spirit, you know what He's done? He's out there trying to remove those rocks for you. You're saved. You're safe. It's all right. Christ is sufficient. Don't let the world tell you Christ is not sufficient. Don't let these false religions tell you Christ is not sufficient. Don't let the devil deceive you into thinking that it's more than Christ or it's something other than Christ. It's Christ and Christ alone. Then there's that past life. I can't be saved. I've lived too bad. And I can't be saved. I can't live the life. I can't be saved. You know what? I want to be perfect. When I get saved, I want to be perfect. The devil, I'm trying to remove that rock for you today. You'll never be perfect as long as you're in this flesh. You'll never be perfect as long as you're in this flesh. But when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, when God sees you, He sees you through the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. Remove those rocks. The city of refuge is ready to receive you. Don't stumble over these rocks. Put your faith in Christ. The jailer said, "What shall I do to be saved?" Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Now, I'm closing with this. That does not mean that just because the jailer got saved, that his wife and children got saved. You've got to read the Bible for what it says and how it says it. He's saying to the jailer, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. And if your house believes, if your wife believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, she'll be saved. If your son believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll be saved. If your daughter believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, she'll be saved. So this is what it's all about. Every one of us has the choice. It's a personal choice. I'm not going to heaven because my mom and dad are saved. I'm going to heaven today because I'm saved. I'm not going to heaven because they put their faith in Jesus Christ. Now, their faith in the Lord helped bring me to my faith in the Lord. You understand that, right? But I'm not going to heaven, as you've heard said, riding mom and dad's coattails. I'm going to heaven because I've been redeemed. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. There was a day in my life where I realized I was a sinner. I understood He was a Savior. And I knew I couldn't make it to heaven on my own. I knew I couldn't make it to heaven through turning over a new leaf. I knew there was only one way because the Bible taught me that there was one way. And I called upon the name of the Lord and He saved me. And I'm on my way to heaven. My children on the way to heaven. Not because I'm on my way to heaven, but because they put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how come they're going to heaven. My wife's on her way to heaven. Not because her mom and dad is on their way to heaven. They are. But because she put her faith. It's a personal matter. Salvation's a personal issue. And you must know. I hope we've removed some of those rocks for you today. I hope we've made the way clear, get your understanding clear, that there's only one way. Through Christ. No other way to heaven. Christ. 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 Not through the church. You can find the way at the church, but the church doesn't take you to heaven. Christ takes you to heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for loving us. And I thank You, Lord, for what Your Bible teaches us. I pray, Lord, today that we've heard what You would have us to hear. I pray for those that are here that need to have victory in their lives. Those that are here that have never trusted Christ as Savior. Today I pray that these things that maybe have been a hindrance to them, just putting their faith and trust in You, Lord, that the way's been cleared.